Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
I want to go to an Old Testament book, the book of Hosea. It's after the book of Daniel. Hosea, and I want you to find chapter 4, and we're going to begin there tonight. And what I want to talk about tonight is, and you'll have to hear the whole thing. The title is kind of a negative, but it'll get good. I want to talk to you about a lack of knowledge. When I first got saved, I heard a preacher, I heard his wife say this, very beginning days of my walk with the Lord. I heard her say that her and her husband found out that the more word they got in them, the freer they would be. And I thought, you know, if that's the case, then I'm going to do that. And so I set out on a journey, and I found out the more of the Word of God I digested, the more free I became. You know, Jesus said, you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free, see. So I began that journey. I began to seek God and began to find out, and I haven't stopped. And I hope I never do. I hope I keep doing that, because there's always more to learn. You know, by the time you think you've seen everything about God, He's got more to show you. Amen. And so I want us to read this verse, Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. The Bible says that, and we'll just read the first line of this verse. It says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And Isaiah, we won't go there, but Isaiah 5:13 says, my people have gone into captivity because they have no knowledge. So, as believers, even though we're saved, destruction and captivity await those who have a lack of knowledge. Because you would be ignorant of what belongs to you. See. Now, you know, the word, how many know the word ignorant? The word ignorant just means you're uninformed, right? See, ignorance is curable by knowledge. Stupidity is terminal, and will take a new birth. All right, so, but ignorance, now, when you think about the word ignorance, the word ignore is in there. See? So you could be ignorant because you ignored the Word. You'd be a Christian and ignore the Word of God. You don't have time for it. You're too busy with your life. You're glad you're saved. You're glad you're going to heaven. But, you know, I don't need to spend all that time in the Bible or listening to people preach and teach the Word of God. But, you know, that was not the way I approached it. I was reading my Bible. I was listening to other people preach on the radio, and through, in those days, cassette tape, and of course being in church every service and other meetings and so forth. I was there to get fed the Word of God, and you know, it's just amazing how many times you're just sitting in a church and you get an answer from God. And I've had many people over the years tell me, you know, basically I got my answer today, Pastor, while you were preaching. Well, you know, and sometimes it's not even maybe what I'm even preaching about. It's one of the rabbit trails I get off on. I'm just talking about something, and God will have you to do that. For instance, and he was here, Pastor Mike, and, you know, he told me I could share this long time ago, you know, but he, you know, I was just preaching one morning, and when he was still at our church, you know, I was just preaching one morning, and I still remember this, And it just like it stuck out to me. I didn't know I was doing anything by the Holy Spirit. I didn't know. And I would just remember walking over. He was sitting over on this side, and I remember just walking over this side of the church, and I said, you know, if you're critical of preachers, you won't receive your healing. Well, he told me later on, he said, Pastor, he said, when you said that, he said, I knew that was for me. He said, I had this pain like in my side near my lower back, just would not go away. And he said, when you said that, he said, I repented, said, God, that's me. He said, I was healed immediately. And he still tells that testimony today. And it's a good testimony. Well, you know, I didn't know that. The Lord didn't say, hey, tell Pastor Mike he needs to repent. How many know God doesn't tell you people's business usually? He just has you put it out there. And that's happened hundreds of times probably where you've just said things. Because, you know, God wants to get knowledge to us. How many know that? Amen. He wants us to continue to grow in knowledge. You know, Peter's very last words to the church was that we have recorded was grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Jeremiah 24:7 said God's given us a heart to know Him. So when you get saved, God gives you a heart to know Him. And I'm convinced a lot of Christians are depressed, oppressed, simply because their spirit's not able to express itself. It's not able to get to know the one that recreated it. And therefore, they think it's oppression, they think it's depression, but actually it's suppression. Their spirit man's been suppressed and he's not able to feed on the knowledge of God. See, Colossians tells us that we're renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created us. So our spirit man has to be fed. He has to, I mean, no, your body has to be fed, right? You know, I mean, sometimes we feed it a little more than it needs. But it's got to be fed, right? You know what I mean? It's like you got to have some food, you know. And it's like why? Because if you don't, it gets weak, doesn't it? It starts to run down. And well, y'all know this isn't real deep, is it? But you know, what is deep, and what people don't know is your spirit man's the same way. He has to be fed. And Paul said in Colossians, he's renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created him. So as we feed on the Word, it rejuvenates our spirit man, gives him strength, amen, and makes him come alive. Hallelujah. Amen. So I don't know, you know, I mean, how we think we could live a victorious life if we don't know God's Word. Amen. It's not going to happen. So, but I want to talk to you now because, listen, just because somebody went to seminary doesn't mean they know the Word of God. How many know the people that wrote the Old Testament, the Jewish, How many know that the Old Testament was written to the Jewish people, wasn't it? But they're the ones that didn't even know the Messiah when He came. Yet He was revealed in the Word of God. An evangelist that I was acquainted with and all, he said one time, I had a Jewish friend and said he wanted me to go to the synagogue with him. And I said, well, okay, I'll tell you what, I'll go to the synagogue with you if you come to church with me. And so the guy agreed to it. He said, well, I went to the synagogue. He said they had a reading and they were reading out of the book of Isaiah that day, and they were reading Isaiah chapter 52. And they said they got down to the bottom of Isaiah 52 reading it, and they skipped the last part of Isaiah 52, skipped all of Isaiah 53, and went to Isaiah 54 in their reading. So he said, this evangelist I know, he said, I went up to the, and respectfully went up to Rabbi and said, I notice you're reading out of Isaiah. He said, I understand. I know the passage. Reading out of Isaiah 52. He said, I notice you skipped the last part of 52 and all of 53. Why did you do that? He said, because when we read that, people mistakenly believe that's Jesus. How many know there's a real good reason why people think that's Jesus? Because why? It is Jesus. That's who it's talking about, see? So, you could have an education, but still not know the Word of God. I still, you know, we're all still learning, right? But I've been studying the Bible for over 40 some years now, every day. I've taught it for 40 some years. That's what my life has been around. That's all I've done, you know, basically full time for years and years and years and years. And it's amazing how you run into people that's never even read the Bible, but know more about it than you do. Now, they wouldn't do their doctor that way. They wouldn't do their dentist that way. But yet, somehow, when it comes to the Word, they think they know it. You know, my dad, he kind of was a little bit like that sometimes. He was hard-headed. That's where I get it from. Praise the Lord. Anyway, my little bit of that I have. God's tempered a lot of that, but I think, hasn't he, hon? She's not going to commit. She never had to live with my dad. But, you know, it was kind of like, he read the Bible through one time. I don't think he read the whole thing through one time. There's no way he did. But he read parts of it, you know, or something one time. And so he knew about it. So he named my younger brother Damon because he was naming him after Damon and Pythias in the Bible. Now, here's the problem for all of you that are real quiet. Damon and Pythias aren't in the Bible. They're Greek mythology. All right. But he thought they were Bible characters. So he's going to be spiritual and name my little brother a biblical name. Those are the kind of people that argue with you about the Word of God, all right? It's like, you don't even have a clue what you're talking about. You still call the book of Job, Job. You still call the book of Psalms, Palms. And you're still looking for 2 Hezekiah. So, how many know, people, I've seen this before on TV, where you got this panel or sitting around talking about what God likes, what he's like and what he thinks about things, and they don't even know him. They don't even know him. Well, I think God, here's the way I think God would do it. Listen, we don't know God by what we think or feel. We know God by his word. What did he say? See, that's the way we get to know God. How many know, you don't know a person until you spend time with them. Amen. You know, that's why, you know, you date. You get to know one another a little bit more, right? So you might find out things that you don't like. Maybe it's not going to work out. You know what I mean? Because you just don't like that, you know, and so forth and so on. And so, you know, look, we don't know God just by how we feel or, you know, or I remember in Old Pentecost, I was with them, and they go, I feel God tonight. And I understood what they were saying. His presence was there. You know, his anointing was there, and that's all fine. That's all good. I love that. But let me tell you something. What about when you don't feel that? Is he still there? Yes. How do we know he's there? Because he said he would be. He didn't say, I'm there when you feel me. I'm there all the time. And I'll tell you what, I've seen some pretty outstanding things take place when I was praying for people and I didn't feel a thing. Amen. Now, I've had times I felt the power of God. You know, I felt the anointing. I could sense the power. And that's great. But there's been times where, you know, more happened when I didn't feel a thing. So we can't go by that. We have to go by what God said. We know God by his word. Amen. We don't know God by our feelings or, you know, I feel like God heard me. Well, I'm glad you had a good time of prayer, but God heard you based on what he said. Amen. Didn't he say, if you ask anything according to my will, I hear you? Yes. All right. So that's what we got to live by, isn't it? Amen. So let's talk about this. How many know there's a big difference in what I was going to get at? Because, you know, there's a big difference between head knowledge and heart knowledge. When the Bible says, my people perish for a lack of knowledge, it's just not talking about head knowledge. Head knowledge. It's talking about heart knowledge. Having a heart knowledge is, which we'll talk about this in a minute, it's revelation knowledge. It's what gets on the inside of you. Now, that's what changes your life, because revelation knowledge, you will live by. When you get revelation knowledge, you live by it. and nobody can talk you out of it. Nobody can talk you out. If you've gotten a revelation that you're saved, nobody can talk you out of it. You say, how do you know? I just know. I know what the Word says, and I know that I know. It's like, I love what Brother Hagin said. This one group, church group, came to him one time to one of his meetings, and they're one of these groups that argue with everybody. You know, and there's people like that in the church. There's people on the internet that think that God has called them to find fault with every preacher there is, and don't realize there is no such. There's apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, not criticizers. You get yourself in trouble doing that kind of stuff. But you know, these people were like that, and you know, they're famous for not believing anything anymore. And so they came to Brother Hagin, and they said, "Now we want to talk to you." And he's like, "I don't really want to talk to you." And they said, "No, really, we want to talk to you because if you're saved, we're not. If you're saved, we're not." I love these answers. He said, "Well, that is the best indication I ever had that you're not saved. Because I know I am." How many know you're saved? Why? Because you got it down inside of your heart. It isn't arrogance, it's just that you got it down inside your heart. I have it down in my heart. It doesn't matter what the world says or how they say the world came about. I already know, because I got revelation out of God's Word that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And so they can just, you know, I remember I went through, I guess I'm probably, I don't know, in the 60s if we were even taught evolution. Probably were, I guess, I don't know. But none of it stuck. None of it hung around because I'd already heard in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Amen. And so it becomes revelation to you, and nothing can move you off of it. And that's what we're talking about tonight when we're talking about my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. You could quote the entire Bible and still not have heart knowledge. I mean, there's some people out there. The guy that wrote Dake's Bible, I mean, that guy, he had heart revelation. But that guy was a mental genius. He was a mental genius. You know, he's in heaven now, but you know, he did all the annotating and all the notes of that Bible. I mean, all those notes, man. I mean, this guy had to be brilliant. And Dr. Summerall said he had him in his church, Dr. Lester Summerall from South Bend, Indiana. You know, he's from heaven now, but his church was in South Bend. He said he had, and I've told you this before, but this is amazing. He said, "I had Dake in my church. And I was on a Sunday evening service." He said he sat on the platform. We had him do this. He quoted the entire book of Hebrews and gave the punctuations. Try that on. Now, I've got a friend in the ministry. I don't know that he could do that, but he's got a photographic memory. I mean, man, he just hangs on to stuff. Well, Dake had that. I mean, he just was brilliant. But, you know, just because you're brilliant mentally doesn't mean you got anything spiritually. Now, he had something spiritually, but I'm just making a point. Just because somebody went to seminary for 35 years doesn't mean they learn about God. You got to get in his book to learn about him. And you don't have to have a college degree to understand his book. All you got to have is the Holy Spirit. He'll lead you and guide you into all truth. Now, I'm not knocking education because some people need it, but I'm not knocking that. That's not my point. My point is there's something higher than it than just natural knowledge. It's called revelation knowledge. I remember when Peter, we were going to look at the scripture, but I'll just preach it. I remember when Peter, you know, Jesus came to his disciples. He said, "Who do men say that I am?" And they said, "Well, some say you're John the Baptist. Some say you're Jeremiah. You're one of the prophets." I mean, that's all head knowledge. Jesus said to Peter, "Who do you say that I am?" He said to his disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter spoke up and said, You're the Christ, the Son of the living God." Peter got something right for once. Praise the Lord. That had to feel good. You know, he was always putting his foot in his mouth, you know. You know, the high priest servant comes, you know, and he cuts his ear off. You know, Jesus is a preacher on love, and his head deacon cuts an ear off with some guy. We had that happen one time at church, not this church, my first church. We were growing, you know, and the parking lot, we hadn't expanded the parking lot we were going to, but hadn't yet, so people were parking out on the street. Well, it's just a little small community. I mean, you know, my gosh, if a car goes by one every hour or two, whatever, there's not much going on. I mean, there's probably more than that go by, but not much going on. But, you know, we're parking on the street. Well, this guy in the neighborhood, man, he got mad and came over to church one day and just mouthing off, man, because we're parking on the street. Well, he doesn't own the street, but he's just mouthing off. And one of our guys punched him and knocked him on the ground. I doubt he's coming to church here anytime soon. Thank you very much. Well, that was Peter. How many of that was Peter, right? That was Peter. You know who I mean, don't you? Yeah. Anyway, he punched him, knocked him down, and that was the last that guy said anything about his parking on the street, you know. I mean, you know, there was others that wanted to do it, but we decided to walk in love. But he did it. Well, you know, Peter says, you're the Christ, you're the Son of the living God. Well, no, Jesus said, flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you. You didn't get that from seminary? But my Father, which is in heaven. Right? See, what's he saying? You got that by revelation, revealed. Everybody say revealed. You got that revealed. That was revelation. That's a revelation. And he said, upon this rock, I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell won't prevail against it. When you get Revelation 9 of the word, the gates of hell can't prevail against you. And he went on to say, and he said, I'll give unto you the keys of the kingdom, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loose in heaven. Now, he didn't hand Peter some great big key ring, did he? No, he. What he's telling him is, see, I'm going to give you keys. I'm going to give you revelation knowledge. I'm going to give you more revelation knowledge that are keys to the kingdom of God. And what when you get revelation, whatever, you'll know what to bind and you'll know what to loose. Whatever you bind will be bound. Whatever you loose will be loose. See, I think it's Luke 11:52. Jesus, he gave us even some more insight. And he talked about the lawyers in the Bible were people that were high up in the law, the word of God. They weren't like lawyers like we have today. They were high up in the word, knew the word. But he rebuked those lawyers. He said, you've taken away the key of knowledge. And you don't enter into the kingdom. You keep people from entering in. See, knowledge is a key, opens up doors. When you know something. Amen. When you know it. See, the more you know, see, that's why that lady said, the more you know, her and her husband found out, the more the word we got in us, the freer we were. Well, the more you know, the freer you're going to be. Devil can't hold, you can't be held in bondage when you know some things. Amen. It's like one woman said one time, she said, I've been healed for 2,000 years and just found out about it tonight. But somebody preached it. But she didn't know it till somebody said it, you know. And that's where a lot of people at. They don't have a clue. There's a lot of people would hear me preach and think, well, that's the craziest thing I ever heard in my life. But if you read your Bible, you'd find it in there. I mean, I'm not saying, you know, there's a few things you might have to, there's some things I say I spit out myself. But anyway, you know, but we try to get the major doctrines right. Jesus is the Son of God. He was born of a virgin. He rose from the dead. But you know, we all have, there's minor things that don't matter. They don't matter to a hill of beans. And the devil will get you off on those things. You know, I've seen people get all upset, you know, because, well, I'm telling you what, now we're supposed to have church on this day or that day or that day. Hey, did you know the Bible says you can have church any day you want to? New Testament. So that's not a big deal. You hear people that, well, you know, we're supposed to do. I had one guy one time, bless his heart, told me that we weren't supposed to take communion any longer. I'm like, well, where did you get that at? You know? I'll tell you what, you don't take communion and be happy, I'm going to take communion and be real happy. Because Paul said, as often as you do it, you can do it every day. But you know what I'm saying? Sometimes people major in minors, you know. You know, unless you were just baptized my way, you're not going to heaven. Unless you're born again, you're not going to heaven. How do you baptize them? I dunk them. If they're rebellious, I hold them a little longer. But the big thing that we need to know is that the more we know, the freer we're going to be. Amen. Hallelujah. So, God wants us all filled with revelation knowledge. See, Peter had, he got revelation knowledge, and what he got, you know, when he got, Jesus said, man, he said, you've got keys of the kingdom. I'm going to give you the keys of the kingdom. I'm going to give you more revelation knowledge. See, a person that doesn't, you know, if you get born again and you stay ignorant of the word, you really don't have your spiritual senses about you. See, a person that doesn't have revelation knowledge is like the person that doesn't have their five physical senses. Now, could you imagine if somebody didn't have all their five physical senses? Now, we've seen people before that lost some of theirs, but they were able to adjust by leaning on the others. It's just amazing to me. The Helen Keller story is just amazing. It's like, how in the world do you do this? Isn't that amazing? You know, and that one guy back in, I think it was the late 60s or 70s, Tommy, the deaf, dumb, and blind man that could play a mean pinball. Okay, show your age, guys. Come on. Wasn't that amazing? Deaf, dumb, and blind, he could play pinball. Yeah, and find out it's just a dumb song. Yeah, The Who. Yeah, when you name yourself The Who, it's like, you don't know who you are. Who? Who's playing? Who? Who's playing? Who's playing? Who's playing tonight? Who's playing? Oh, never mind. So Peter got something, didn't he? All right. Well, you're not going to get that out of the Word unless you're in the Word. A guy said this to me one time years ago. He said, I can't understand the Bible. I thought, well, why don't you try reading it? Because the Spirit of God will reveal it to you if you have an open heart, right? So we have to understand that we can't grasp spiritual things. We can't know God apart from His Word. And like I said, it's just like a person without revelation knowledge is like a person without their five physical senses, you know. You just don't have any contact with the... You know, a person that doesn't have their five physical senses has no contact with the natural world whatsoever. Zero. But that's the same way. A lot of people don't have any contact with the spiritual realm or the spiritual world, God, because they don't have revelation knowledge. Because we don't know Him by our head. We know Him by our heart. Yeah. Amen. Amen. So, you know, like I said, you know you're saved because of the Word of God. Amen. Now, let's go to, let me see where we want to go. Y'all getting something tonight? We're winding down here. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 11. I want to read this verse, Isaiah 11. You're finding that. You know, the Bible tells us that we're to, Paul told Timothy, as a pastor, he said, study to show yourself approved. Right. You know, it's amazing how many preachers don't study any longer. Right. Or don't pray any longer. Really? Right. You know how they do studies and stuff, but this one, I think it might have been Barna, which does Christian studies, which they're reliable. And they said the average minister or pastor prays 15 minutes a week. That's a problem. If that's in the pulpit, what about out in the pew? I don't know about you, I don't want my pastor just praying 15 minutes a week. I don't want him in the Word just 15 minutes a week, because I'm going to get a really weak message. Amen. I want my pastor free to be able to be in the Word of God. Right? See, I've had pastor friends, and there's nothing wrong with this because sometimes you have to do it, but you know they have to work a job, you know, and then pastor, and then they try to study and try to take care of their house and then their family, It's just amazing that they make it. But sometimes it's because, and now you guys aren't, but there's some churches that are just so tight they squeak. Yeah, I was preaching for a church one time, and I'm not judging, I'm just making a point. You know, I'm preaching for this church one time, and the pastor, he's working a full-time job and trying to pastor a church, and he and I are talking, and you know, he was just hired to pastor. I mean, he felt like he was called there, but it's like the board hired him to come and pastor, and so he's not really shepherding like he'd like to, because he can't, you know, they're kind of controlling him. And he told me, he said, they got $2.5 million in the bank. And I'm thinking, if they got $2.5 million in the bank, what are you doing working a job? You should be in the Word of God and praying. Amen. You shouldn't be out here having to work a job, $2.5. I mean, you know, if they had like $2.50 in the bank, all right, I get it. They're struggling. We're going to have to do something. Faith does whatever it takes. My first ministry paycheck was $25 a week. And the government took $2 and something of that. They had the nerve to take $2 and something out of that. And so I'm, you know, or a dollar something. I think I ended up grossing $23 and something, you know. And we had a board meeting one time, and one of the magnanimous deacons said, let's give him a $5 raise. I'm glad there was another deacon on that board, said, I don't think that's enough. You know, people say, well, you're just in it for the money. If I'd have been in it for the money, I'd quit years ago. Yeah. Years ago. So it's not that, but it's a matter that Paul said, study to show yourself approved, a man that rightly divides the word of truth. How many know the word's got to be rightly divided? What does he mean, rightly divided? You got to find out everything the Bible says about a subject instead of just pulling a verse out and running with it. You know, like people pull that verse out, and we've talked about this before. You know, all things work together for good to them that love, you know, they don't even quote the whole verse. They just say, all things that work together for good. They forget that them that love God and are called according to his purpose, and the verses before talking about what the Spirit of God's doing in prayer, they forget about all that stuff. See, it's not rightly dividing the word of truth. Amen. You can put verses together and get all kinds of doctrines out of the Bible. You know, it's like I think Brother Hagin said one time, you know, Judas went out and hung himself. Go to the other scripture. Go thou and do likewise. Put those two verses together and you're in trouble. You know what I mean? You got to write. There's a way it fits together. Amen. And that comes through revelation of the Spirit. But you got to spend time in the Word to know that. That's why people need a good pastor. Because you can't believe all this junk you get off the internet. All these new... See, people sometimes, I've dealt with this over the years, it just happens as young believers fall prey for it, but sometimes old believers do. Somebody comes out with this new revelation God gave them. Pastor's never preached on it. You should be suspicious right now. If you've been coming here for 30 years and you never heard me preach on it, it may not be in the Bible. May not. Maybe I just missed it. I don't know. But I'd sure be suspicious of it. Amen. And I've heard all kinds of weird stuff. It's called winds of doctrine. You know, where it just comes in, it blows up. It's like Brother Hagin used to teach. He said, he's been around for a long time. He said that stuff that's coming around, he said it came around 20 years ago. It wasn't true then, and it's not true now. But back in the, I think it was like in the 40s or something like that, might have been the 50s, they came out with a doctrine that if you really believe God, if you really trusted God, you'd never die physically. You know, because they pulled a verse or two out that they thought said that, you know. And I am the resurrection and life. He that believeth me shall never die. Well, you need to find out what Jesus meant when he said that. Who was he talking to? What was he talking about? So that doctrine was actually going around. They were teaching, you know, and Brother Hagin said he asked one guy about it, was preaching it, you know. He said, well, what about that? Brother Hagin said, well, Paul died, didn't he? He said, yeah, but he missed it. How do you know if Paul missed it? There's not much hope for all of us. He missed it. But I like what Brother Hagin said. That doctrine died out because they all died. Because it's not true. Amen. And so I've heard all kinds of weird things over the years. That's why people need a good pastor. You know, see, the Bible says in Thessalonians, know those that labor among you. And if, you know, I'm not bragging, but if you've been watching Phyllis and I, you've seen us live clean for 30 years. You've seen us walk with... Now, that doesn't mean that we couldn't mess up or slip up. We still got to... The Bible says, take heed if you think you stand, lest you fall. You still got to fall in the mercy of God. But I'm just simply making a point. Follow those that have had track records, you know. Not some upstart that just all of a sudden he became famous, you know, and all of a sudden he just shows up and bam, he's the new hottest thing, greatest thing. You better find out a little... Wait a little bit, see if he's still around in 20 years from now. Amen. Like I said, when I got saved, I wasn't looking for the young guys to teach me anything. I was finding those older guys were a little older than me. You know, in those days, I was just 21. So if you were 31, you were an older guy, or 41. And I thought, you know, I was in my 20s, I thought 40-year-olds. I remember, I thought they were old people. You know, I remember I had a mother in the Lord. She was a spiritual mother to me at the church, you know. And I thought, man, she didn't have any more years left. And one day I got to counting it up and thinking about how old she was, because I knew how old she when she'd passed away and how old she was when she passed away. And I subtracted the years back minus off of her age when I knew her and I was at the church. And I thought she was an ancient of days, just, you know, a mother in the faith to me. You know, she was 58. I mean, when you're 21, 58-year-old, they look like they're about to go. It's like they're on life support. Breathe too hard and they'll fall over. Come on, I mean, that's true. You know, you know what I'm saying. I mean, you get a little older, it's like that all changes. And you think, man, now I think 58, that's a young pup. But... We have to have good, solid leaders in our life that can get up and teach us the Word. And maybe sometime the Word will rebuke some of the things we picked up. Don't fall for all this stuff on the internet. There's just so much junk out there now, you know. Did you know that the media can't be trusted? Is this a new revelation to you? No, see, here's why. Even if they do tell the truth a little bit, they slant it. Right. Yeah. See, I remember there was years ago a minister, and he was from Texas, and he got pretty famous for a while, and he was a good guy, you know. And, you know, this guy got saved in these meetings, and he was one of the high priests for the Church of Satan. Got born again one of his meetings. And so... You know, all his old cronies, man, they disowned him. Matter of fact, they'd like to kill him. And so they kind of had to hide the guy out. I was like that one. No, I wasn't like that, but I met a guy like that one time. I was going to do this TV show they had, like in Honduras. They have something over there called Ambulance or something like that. I'm probably butchering that, but it's like you know, back here we had, what, TBN or whatever. That's what it was. And, you know, I went over there to do a show. And I go into the studio, you know, the back room where all the nuts and bolts are being done to get mic'd up. And there's a guy living back there. And I'm talking to him. I said, what are you doing here? And he said, well, he said, I was part of this gang. You know, there's ruthless gangs. The Bloods, the Crips, and all that came from Honduras. They're ruthless people. He said, and I got saved watching this television, this Christian program on this TV. And he said, if I go out in the street, they'll kill me. So he said, I live here at the studio. Isn't that something? Well, thank God he got saved. Now, what was I telling before I got up on that? Yeah, this high, he got saved. Well, he was kind of in the same place. So this preacher, he bought him a car, and he put him up in an apartment, okay? So one of the news organizations gets a hold of that and said, man, he's bought him a luxury car, and, you know, he's put him up in this apartment. So, you know, of course, all the world's going, yeah, look at him waste God's money, you know, like God's broke. You know, look at him waste God's money, you know. And so one of the Christian news organizations did a follow-up, and they found the guy. And the guy had, he did have a Lincoln car, but it was 10 years old. He was living in an apartment in Los Angeles, and it was $400 a month. How many can do your math and figure out what a $400 a month apartment, even in the 1980s, looked like in Los Angeles? So it's like, yeah, it's true. He bought him a car. Yes, he put him in an apartment, but you didn't. You slanted it, so you tried to make it look bad. They always try to make preachers look bad. That's because the spirit of the world hates the gospel. Right? Spirit of the world hates the gospel. So it's just good we rightly divide the word, right? We got to, you know, we want to make sure. What's the Bible say about it? You know, and that's just the way I preach. I mean, if I just find out, God, what do you want me to talk about? You say, well, talk about rising. I'll just look at all the scriptures I can find on it and let them talk to me, you know. Sometime I'm going to teach on some things that the church has just misinterpreted for years because they didn't just look at the whole picture on it. You know, they did that with tongues. Tongues have passed away. No one ever said that. Amen. Well, I think we talked about that, didn't we, Sunday morning? That scripture, the God helps those that helps himself. I remember that scripture. How many got that on your refrigerator? I mean, that's not in the Bible. But there's people, a guy told me one time, I said, where do you go to church at? He said, you know what the Bible says, a rolling stone gathers no moss. I just go here and there. I said, yeah, that's why you're in the hospital with this about to die, because you don't know the Bible. Right? You need to know the Bible, right? Maybe that's your problem. Maybe that's why God can't get through to you. Anyway, how many of that scripture's not in the Bible, right? A rolling stone gathers no more. So, okay. Let me just pray for you and I got to go. All right. And he did live. Thank God for God's mercy. I mean, amen. All right, did you find Isaiah? Look at this in verse 9. It says, they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. How many know when God's knowledge brings harmony into your life? It brings harmony into the earth. Amen. It brings stability. It brings stability. Let me close by saying this. You know, Peter said in 2 Peter, he said that grace and peace is multiplied to us through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power is given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that's called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. That's 1 Peter 1:2-4. See, and I know I quoted it to you. You know, you can look at it sometime, but what it's saying is it's knowledge. It's knowledge that caused the promises to work in our life.
Right.
If you don't know about it, how many know you?
Right.
You can't partake of the benefits. You know, I talked about this one time. You know, some of the sports stuff. I've been a sports guy since I was a little kid. And so, you know, a lot of it. Some of it I don't like. You know, certain sports I don't really pay much attention to. But I've been that way since I was a kid, and you know, a lot of that. Some of that started going on Prime Video. Well, I think, well, I can't watch that. You know, I'm not going to pay for that. I pay for cable. That's bad enough. But I'm not going to pay for a Prime Video app. I'm not going to do that. And I just won't watch that game. I mean, I won't watch that race and all that. And then, you know, one day I turned on Prime Video and just thought I'd check it out. You know, it's on your TV, you know, your smart TV. And it came on. And I thought, well, I got it. And I found out, you know, I knew we were, what's that they call it? Prime, I wanted to say Prime Ministers, but we're not Prime Ministers. Come on, what is that? What is it? What, Dave, what is it? Amazon Prime. Yeah, where you're up, you know, you get free shipping. Well, not along with the free shipping. You don't only get free shipping, you get access to Prime Video. Well, I didn't know that. So I haven't been watching these games or watching these races because I don't get that. How many know that's called lack of knowledge? ignorance.
Easy there.
Well, it's true. I just like, if you read the fine print, it tells you. Well, all I thought is, well, I don't have to pay shipping. Isn't that wonderful? See, that's the way a lot of believers are. Well, I my sins are forgiven. Isn't that wonderful? Well, yeah, that's wonderful, but there's other things you got. And I keep thinking I'm going to trade my truck off someday. I mean, I've had it now 8 years. But I got the manual. I said, I need to read it sometime. This thing does stuff I don't know it does. You know what I mean? How many know what I mean? All this stuff. I mean, these things will just about drive themselves now. I remember years ago, when I first ran into one of those vehicles, I had a friend in the ministry. He got blessed with a nice car. And he said, come check my car. I was excited. And I'm excited with him. He gets in there. And his car, now this doesn't sound like anything today, but we're talking about late 90s maybe. His car, you just tell it, play CD7, track 3, and it does it for you. Your car, you speak to, make me reservations at so-and-so restaurant. Well, somebody comes on there and does it. And he's just showing me all that stuff, you know, and all. And then, you know, then they start coming out with phones that you could just speak the text into it. And if you text like I do, you need that. You know what I'm saying? You know, you see these kids, blah, 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 blah. It's like, I'm a find and land. And so, you know, I got one of those. But I'm sure my trunk will do more than I do with it, but I don't do it because of lack of knowledge. I've had it for 8 years. Just 2 weeks ago, I found out something it'd do if you just push the right button. You know how it tells you, you know how you get a digital readout, you're going 55. Well, I found out if you set it right, it'll tell you what you're supposed to be going. Yeah. Right there beside it, a little screen come up and tell you, it's 55, you're doing 75, fool. It doesn't say fool, but anyway, it, you know, lets you know this ain't right. Hallelujah. Lack of knowledge. I keep thinking, someday I'm going to read the manual on that thing and figure out what all it'll do, but I think I'm going to trade it off first and just read another manual. Well, I tell you what, you know, people perish because of lack of knowledge. People perish because of lack of knowledge. And that can be cured. Amen? That can be cured. You say, well, you know, well, not only do we read the Bible, but listen, we listen to good preachers that know what they're talking about. Amen? And, you know, we feed off of that. And I don't know about you. I've been on a quest ever since I got born again to find out everything I can about my redemption and about my God. Amen?
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.